free for all.
Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Bob Baskerville, Sam Beard, intern Jace. The four amigos are here and locked in on this Wednesday morning. Bob, how are you?
I feel good. I don't sound great.
You told me you were going to be over this by like Monday.
I know.
It's Wednesday. What the hell's wrong with you?
We're closing in on a week.
Have you ever heard of just clearing your throat? Have you tried that? Have you tried hitting your chest?
Just I've done all little, that. That's the problem. Now I'm
double tap.
Now I'm getting hoarse. Once I talk a little bit, it'll help. But yeah, it's very, very frustrating. But I feel fine, so don't cry for me. I'm okay. I'll be all right.
How many words do you think you say on average before the opening intro every morning?
Oh, you mean like just at home and everything?
Just like, yeah, but because I think like I say good morning to you when you come in. I say good morning to Sam, and then sometimes I don't really say anything else before. Like I'll be like, hey, start the podcast, or hey, like 3, 2, 1. But like I'll say I'm like 12 words like in the day before like we actually start the show. That's probably where I'm at because I don't speak to anybody at home other than just yelling at my dog every now and then. Be like, come on, bro.
You don't sing in the car on the way home?
Not in the morning, no. No singing in the car in the morning.
That's the way to start your day, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I can't. No, I don't do that.
Might not be a bad idea right now. I might get that phlegm worked up, Bob. Might need to put on some La Love It and Justin Timberlake and start singing in the morning. But no, I don't speak to people. I don't run to the store. I'm not doing anything. I say morning. And sometimes that's about it. Okay, Bob will tell me something. Hey, got this guest lined up. Okay, sounds good. So I'm like probably fewer than 12 words a day before we actually get on the air.
It's probably about right. I mean, that's probably about right. Same for me. Say goodbye to my wife. Don't say anything else till I get here and say good morning to you guys. I might be saying 12 words all day at this point. The way I'm sounding. Sorry, guys.
When we were in the old studio, like, you know, after we do our little post-show hangout and talk about it, you know, after that, like, on those days, yeah, like, it would be probably, you know, another 3 or 4 hours before I said another, like, let's just say 30 or 40 words. Not the case anymore since we've come to the new studio. People are around more. There's more interaction. There's more talking. So that's not the case anymore. But, yeah, like, then, like, I would get off the air and not say much once we dispersed and went our separate ways. I just kind of stay quiet there, too. Just don't feel like talking after 3 hours. This is tough.
Talking for 3 hours straight.
I know.
I mean, come on.
I barely let you guys get a word in. I say all my words here on the air, and I'm just like, I'm good the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. I've hit my quota.
Yeah. Can't go over.
Nothing used to be worse than being like, you know, that's. Hey, how was your day? I don't want to talk about it. Don't call me. I don't want to talk right now. I just want to keep this voice quiet. I got a headache from hearing myself.
Could learn like sign language or something. Keep talking to people.
I got one thing I'm pretty good in sign language. I'll let you know whenever I'm mad at you, Sam. My other signals don't really work. I try to always point to you guys and, like, tell you guys stuff over there. And I'm 0 for, like, 5 on, like, getting you guys to understand what I'm talking about. So I need to go back to the drawing board there. Yeah. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing pretty well. I've said more than 10 words today, probably.
You really sing in the car in the morning? I don't believe that.
Yeah.
What are you sing? We didn't ask you what you sang yesterday. I told you guys I sang my women.
I sang... Outstanding by the Gap Band coming in today.
What the hell is that?
Outstanding. Girl, you knocked me out.
The Gap Band? Who the hell is the Gap Band?
I think it's just some older band.
Yeah, you dropped the bomb on me. That's their...
I know that song.
Get the vibes high in the morning, you know? Put on like a little high energy music.
It's not a bad idea.
Wake up a little bit. Get the voice going a little bit.
It's not a bad idea. I will typically be like podcast listening in the morning, which is weird because I only have like a 10-minute commute these days. So it's not really long enough to get into the podcast. Plus, I listen on 1.5 speed. So I guess it's like I'm listening to like 15 minutes podcast basically. And sometimes I'll get here and I'll have it still on in my pocket as I'm walking around, just trying to get zapped into sports mode.
Yeah.
Typically.
I do that when I'm like getting ready. So like I'll wake up and I'll throw on a podcast and then when I'm getting ready and.
How long is it taking you to get ready in the morning?
Sit on the toilet for a couple minutes.
Whoa.
Okay. And you're podcasting? You're podcasting while sitting there?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you listening to while you're pooping?
Catching up on sports stuff like you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you had any in particular you wanted to share, but anyways.
And then.
You know, if you're going over game film, listening to the morning show from the day before,
gotta
be better here. Got to tighten this up a little bit.
You know, I mean, you get like a decent like 20, 25 minutes, and then I've got like a 15, 20-minute ride, and then I throw 4 or 5 songs on, and I'm in a good mood once I get here.
So it sounds like you have a much longer morning. So you're up pretty much every day by 6, you'd say?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Because typically –
I need a little bit longer to like get going. If I woke up like right before the show, like I'd just be dragging for the first 30 or 45 minutes. I kind of just need to wake up earlier and let that tiredness just wear off.
Fair enough. I'm like that lion that wakes up and just starts chasing food. Okay. That's what I'm like. I sleep in until pretty much the last minute. Pretty much like the alarm starts going off. I'll start waking up before the alarm. So I'll start waking up around 5:40, but like I'm out of bed at like a 6:25. And then like 10 minutes, I'm clothes on, dog out. Sometimes I brush my teeth. Sometimes, I'm just kidding, I always brush my teeth. And then like I'm in the car by 6:35 and I'm here by like 6:48.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. Just roll out, fill my water up, set up the computer, turn on the charm, baby. No stretching, none of that, just out and running. Gotta eat like that lion, Sam. Remember that? The gazelle, he has to wake up and start running too. He don't have time to stretch either. Because if he don't start moving, that lion's going to find him.
There's got to be a couple big cats in the jungle that stretch in the mornings.
Probably, Sam. It's just a metaphor.
I know.
It's not meant to be taken literally. It's meant to just tell you to wake up and start grinding.
Sam, what's that logo on your hat?
This is from the golf course that my roommate works at down in Florida.
Oh, Seminole?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering. At first, I thought it was the
– It's afar. Not Florida State, no.
No, from afar. I thought it was the Bucky's Beaver.
Oh, I wish.
Got to be honest, it feels a little ugly sitting here looking at it. Not ugly aesthetically, but just
– Culturally?
Feels like we should move past that logo. Yeah, I don't like it. I've been conditioned by Dan Snyder and the NFL to look at that and say this is not right. This is not right. And I feel that way with that very brown Native American staring back at me. It doesn't feel very 2024.
I don't normally try to follow in Dan Snyder's footsteps, so I'm going a little bit off the beaten path, I guess.
Well, I mean, I guess technically you would be following in Dan Snyder's footsteps because he didn't want to change the logo. He was like, no, I love it. And he was trying to rally the crew to be like, no, tell them it's okay and here's why. And then the NFL was like, no, we're changing it.
Isn't the Native American group, like, didn't they start a petition to change it back too?
Was it the Native American group or was it somebody in the Native American group? Like, I don't know. I don't know. There was a group, yes. Like, I don't know how widespread the sentiment was and whatnot. And I'm sure some tribes nearby liked it. I don't know if they get to make the decision. I don't want, like, 4 people speaking on behalf of all white people when something comes up, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't know how many we have to get before it's like, oh, it's a majority. It's what we actually think. There's this station thing, like, I don't want him interviewing Tucker, you know what I mean? Like, and then Tucker's the voice of Fox Sports Knoxville all of a sudden somehow. Felt like I had to have a little bit more majority. So, yes, there was a group that was like, hey, actually, we like this. But I don't know who it was. And it wasn't enough. It was a little too late, I guess. Yeah, that hat makes me feel ugly. We've moved past those times, Sam, okay? Shame on you for wearing that.
Sorry I brought it up.
You're over Sam's morning regimen, and it's fine. Anything exciting last night, Bob?
Not really. Watched a little bit of basketball, but I didn't really watch much of that Celtics game. I just didn't have much interest in it.
I watched too much of it. I was bored last night and game started, and I looked and said, let me take this Cavs plus 14 and a half. They're only down 5 right now. This will be good. It wasn't. And the damn Celtics are a machine. And sometimes my hate – no, not sometimes. A lot of times my hate gets in the way of just wanting them to be in a close game. I should have left it alone. I had planned on leaving it alone. You don't want to mess with the Celtics in the playoffs right now. Last series, the Heat, you know, I made one mistake in game 3. I was like, okay, no more. I'm not paying attention to that. And then game 1, a Cavs team that I hate, a Cavs team that I don't think is very good. I was like, you know what, maybe they'll keep it close so I can have something to watch. Let me take the Cavs, plus 14. No, it was a blowout. And I had to watch the game, which was even the worst part. I wish I just would have ignored it and kept my Survivor binge, because usually I'm a big Survivor guy, but I'm only on episode 2. I just started it. It's only like 10 have already aired, and I haven't watched them.
They're still rolling out new seasons of Survivor?
Oh, yeah, and some people say it's as good as ever.
Really?
Yeah, I saw a story yesterday. I was like, Survivor's back to being the best show on TV. You know, it's Survivor's a mainstay, and I love it.
There's a new host, right?
No. What? No, Jeff. Okay. Jeff's the man. What are you talking about?
There's some show that changed.
The Bachelor?
Host, right?
You're talking about The Bachelor?
Yeah, maybe.
That was years ago. They got Chris out years ago because he supported the girl that was supported the antebellum pitcher. And then Chris was like, hey, it's okay. Some people make mistakes. Some, you know, just because she was in an old-timey pitcher doesn't mean she wants to bring slavery back. And then everyone's like, Chris. And then he's like, you know what? I don't need this. I'm out of here. And they brought Jesse Palmer in. And I don't watch, but when I did like watch a couple episodes, like, Jesse doesn't have it the same way as Chris.
Yeah.
Chris seemed like the coolest part of the show. That's how I'd feel about Survivor. The moment they get rid of Jeff, out. Mm-hmm. Bob, you're a TV guy. You got any thoughts on Jeff?
He's solid. Probst is good.
Solid.
Yeah. Feel like Tom
was wanting way more than
feel that. Feel like you're underselling him a little bit. He's Emmy Award winning. Some people think he's the GOAT. He's my number two behind TJ Lavin of The Challenge. You know, TJ Lavin does a great job hosting The Challenge on MTV and now on Paramount Plus All Stars. By the way, I had to delete my Paramount because I have given my password to people and they kept watching it before I could watch it. And the way that app sets up, it's so hard to restart it. So, like, I had a meltdown on Friday night. I was in a bad mood, Bob, and I tried to watch the new episode of All Stars, and it just kept showing the last, like, 30 seconds of the credits, and it never would pop back up to let me restart it. And I did that 6 times, and it just kept going to the next episode of a different one, and I couldn't get it to work. And I tried
to close your eyes and do the rerun button.
No, it wouldn't work. My TV, like, it does it – I'd turn it on, and like by the time I turn it on, it immediately would take the rewind button off and like go into the next episode. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the 5-second countdown. I'd try to hit X and like back it out, and it wouldn't do it. And like it kept going to the new episode of a different series. It was The Challenge MTV, not Challenge All Stars. There's 2 different things, but it kept doing it. And I was, again, Bob, on the verge of a meltdown. I don't want to say angry tears, but like I was like, oh my God. I'm just cussing inside the house. I'm having a meltdown. There's other things going on, but I'm lashing out through that. So I just got something. I just deleted my whole Paramount. Because I tried changing the password to kick these people off to get a reset, because I've given my password out to too many people. And apparently I was Googling it. Paramount never lets you log out devices. It doesn't matter if you change your password or not. People can still get in there. And I was like, I've lost my account. It's been hijacked by my friends. And I can't just be like, hey, stop. I've warned you. Please stop watching it before I get to watch it. Enough. Because I've already done that, and it didn't work. So I just went in, and I said, delete account. I said, cancel subscription, delete account. I just canceled it all. I just said, I'm taking my ball, and I'm going home. No more. I don't get to watch it. Nobody's watching it.
Your buddies will be watching for, like, the next 20 days, you know?
Yeah, I don't know when. I don't know when it gets charged again, and they will. They will, but the way that's going to time out, it's going to be like episode 8 of like a 10-episode season, and they're going to be like, oh, we're going to log in. That's why, because you broke the rules. I said, hey, watch whatever you want on there, but you know what I watch. Don't watch it before I get a chance to watch it, because I hate having to rewind it. It makes me so angry. It's been a 2 or 3 year problem because Paramount Plus is such a bad app.
Wow.
I had to lay the law down, Bob. No, I just said, you know what?
I get it.
Canceled.
All because I asked if we had a new Survivor host.
Sam, I think maybe the show you were thinking about was Deal or No Deal Island.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Why the hell would you be thinking that? That show just created.
Because
it can't have a new host. It can't have a new host. It's the first season.
It was a crossover.
I did catch up on that, though, yesterday. I have been watching it. You guys watching Deal or No Deal Island?
No.
But I kind of like the idea of it.
It's not great in terms of the format. As far as I'm concerned, there could be some tweaks. But I will say, Joe Joe from True Blood and Joe from Magic Mike. He does a good job hosting it. I was thinking about how mad Howie Mandel probably is seeing that guy host it, because he's like, hey, I'm the Deal or No Deal guy. But he got replaced, and Joe does a great job. But, like, the whole show is basically built around Boston Rob, who's from Survivor, like, has done seasons of Survivor. And, like, it's weird because he's on there, and, like, he's the only guy you kind of know. But, like, the show's kind of just built around him, which is weird because he's not, like, an actual, like, actor or anything. He's just a mainstay in reality TV. So I don't know how the show would work without him next season. I don't know. But I did watch that last night, Bob. I'm sad you don't have any thoughts on it.
I don't.
Cliffhanger of as a two-part finale, a cliffhanger. I got called a cliffhanger, and I thought while I was watching it was Monday and it was going to air last night, and then I realized, wait, it's Tuesday, it's not coming on. Guess I'll bet on the Cavs plus 14.5. If Joe and Boston Rob would have been on there, I probably just would have been watching Deal or No Deal Island and saved my money, but I didn't because it was Tuesday.
So you wanted more feedback on Jeff Probst.
I think he's the man.
I think he's good. That's what I'm saying.
I'd say great. I'd say great, Bob.
Okay.
You wouldn't say great?
It's just not my format. That's all.
Okay.
That's all. No, I think he's good. He's obviously, you know, he's very good if he's stuck with the show that long and he's won some awards.
Who's your favorite TV host?
Favorite TV host?
Yeah, like if you're just going to undersell my guy, who's your guy? I'm going to tell you that he's just good. Not great.
You're talking about, well, it just depends on format. Again, I'm not.
I mean, like, I'm not talking about, like, Johnny Carson or anything, but just, you know, game show or just talk show, whatever. Who do you view as the cream of the crop?
Talk show? That's a tough one.
The soup guy?
No.
Joe McHale was pretty good at that.
McHale was good. He was at the roast the other night.
Yeah, he was probably another guy in the crowd that was like, I wish I was on stage.
That's a tough one. I would say now that he's back, I'd say Jon Stewart.
Did that make any impact, him doing the Monday nights? Because I've yet to watch it, but I really haven't seen anybody talk about it outside of the first week that he came back. So I was wondering if that was being deemed a success or a flop so far.
I think it's probably deemed a success because it brought some people back to Comedy Central, because Comedy Central now is pretty much synonymous with repeats. That's all they do for the most part. And The Daily Show had become a bit of such a mishmash of hosts. To have somebody that's kind of iconic and identifiable, I think it's probably a success from that perspective. I don't know if it's enough to kind of push them over the edge to being really successful as a network.
I'm surprised I haven't seen, like, really any viral clips from it, because, I mean, he's been doing it for a couple months now.
Right.
Yeah, South Park doesn't really air new episodes. They just do, like, specials. They just move to, like, hey, we're doing the made-for-Paramount unedited long-form specials. Here's a 3- or 4-parter.
I mean, more and more that's what's happening with all these networks, you know? It's either, like, live events, like what we watch, sports, news, all that stuff, or it's a bunch of... Like, there's just not that much original stuff happening. There's a little bit, like, on FX and others, but it's just all repeats.
You can watch The Office, though.
Oh.
You could turn on Comedy Central and most likely catch The Office.
No doubt.
They got that going for them.
Might have wanted to watch The Office instead of the baseball team last night. That was what I was watching instead of the Cavs Celtics. It was not great.
It wasn't. But Tennessee survived, able to avoid a disaster against Queens. We'll talk about that after the break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. 5-6-7-8. Tennessee baseball survived a scare last night, taking down Queens 6-3. For a second, it looked ugly, but they survived. Sam, were you locked in?
Yeah, I was. My buddies and I were grilling some hot dogs on the front porch, hoping to just watch playoff hockey with a big, you know, hoping to get a big win. But we were unfortunately locked into that game for a little bit longer than we anticipated.
Yeah, it was ugly. Bob?
Yeah, I watched some of it. I joined it when it was... 2-2. Saw that Marcus Phillips got run early.
Yeah, not a great outing for Marcus Phillips, and it feels like you could go ahead and, I don't want to say completely put to bed any idea that he's going to be an important arm for you out of the bullpen down the stretch, but I don't have any confidence in him, so I can't imagine Vitello will have any in big moments. Now, maybe his hand gets forced, kind of like it did against Kentucky, the final out in game three, but bad, bad start for him.
Yeah, so I picked it up from there, and it was kind of frustrating to watch, man. It's, you know, thank God for Dylan Dreiling. I mean, dude hit a bomb. But what were you were just saying, John, you fished out what Queens College record was?
Well, I was just, yeah, when I was just getting the box score up, it said they were like 12-37. And I didn't realize that last night while watching it. Wasn't really paying attention to the record there. It was one of those, I'll admit, I was just kind of half paying attention to because I kept thinking, like, surely Tennessee's going to win. Surely Tennessee's going to win. They're going to break through. And then finally, you know, you're locked up and there's drama. And then, yeah, you know, Dreiling hits the three-run bomb to kind of finally put it to bed. And then, you know, we're texting about Kirby getting in. I'm getting some tweets of people like, well, hopefully Kirby read the scouting report. We're about to find out. But then, like, he's, like, loads the bases in the ninth, and you're only up three. Bases loaded, no outs. You're like, oh, my God, what's about to happen here? But then, yeah, this morning I was a little surprised and a little miffed to see they were, like, 12-37. That would have been an absolute disaster of a loss. I mean, obviously, being Queens College, their RPI is not going to be great, but it was down, like, in the 240s. It would have been a real killer for Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean – oh, God, we were just saying in the break, how tough, how embarrassing would that be? You get named number one in the country, and then you lose a game like that. But it didn't happen, so what do we think about Dylan Loy long-term? We think that they've got odds on him being a starter at some point.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt Dylan Loy can find himself into a starting position. I think he's done pretty well in the time that he's, you know, played in his midweek games and stuff like that. And he's, you know, I think he did a good job yesterday of kind of coming in a high stress situation and, you know, and kind of getting out of some stuff. And, you know, he kind of settled down the ship a little bit, and everyone was, you know, you kind of got dialed in. It felt like you were just – he was kind of getting you through some innings, and then you were just waiting for the offense to come up, and you're like, well, we're going to break through here at some point. And then you get to, like, the sixth inning, and you're like, when are we breaking through? But then, you know, you finally get that from Dylan Dreiling. But, yeah, I mean, I think Loy can be a guy that you potentially mold into a starter long term.
When you say that, you mean next year?
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Not down the stretch here?
No. Just thinking for ensuing seasons. I just know there was a lot of hype around him when he came in.
Yeah, I mean, local kid.
Yeah.
A lefty. Those are two boxes I like having checked. It's almost, you know, we had the conversation ongoing with the basketball team, but the baseball team and the baseball rotation, I kind of feel the same way about. Like, I think you're going to bring in at least one starting pitcher probably every cycle, it feels like, in the transfer portal. Whether it's just a guy that – start at a small school that you kind of bring in and you hope that, you know, maybe he can give you four or five innings out of the bullpen or becomes a starter, you know. I don't know. But, like, same as with Kazi. I mean, that was his reputation, right? And now he's a quasi-starter for you. I imagine Tennessee will add two or three of those guys pretty much every cycle. So I don't know if the freshman Loy will be able to, you know, just take that spot next year. I don't know if the spots will be available. I don't know. I feel like Vitello's done a really good job of bringing in pitching from the portal, of course, starting with Dahlander.
Agree. I have to say, I don't want to sound like that guy, but it did cross my mind last night as I was watching this game towards the end. It's like you get to we keep talking about making sure the Vols get enough RPI love to host a super regional. These are the type of games, it's not going to be a Queens College, it's going to be a better team, but in the regional, you know, I just worry a little bit about what I've seen in the last couple of midweek games, and maybe it's just they're focused on other stuff. It's like, I kind of equate it to what we've seen in golf where, you know, there's the reputation of Brooks Koepka has that some of the tournaments he doesn't show up for. When the majors are there, he shines. But when you get to, like, to a regional round for baseball, and we've seen it happen in years past to teams like Arkansas and others, you can, you know, you can get dismissed pretty quickly by an upstart team.
The hope for me is that the midweek game is just one they are not taking seriously. Like we talked about yesterday, when we asked Kirby the game plan or, you know, the midweek games, it's kind of like, you know, haven't really looked yet at the game plan. Don't really know why we came out flat against Lipscomb, et cetera, et cetera. The hope is a regional, you have the utmost focus and attention to detail and treat it like a weekend SEC series. And that's something, of course, this baseball team has done well this year, winning 7 straight series since the Alabama one. But also, like, that's something Vitello's done really well in his career in the regional. Like, I mean, like, it's been a long time since we've lost in a regional.
True.
Yeah, you had a couple scares, sure. Like, Georgia Tech gave you a bit of a scare. Campbell was tough. Wright State, sure. But, like, you were locked in. You ended up winning those games. So, like, I don't worry about the letdown regional game. But I worry about a couple things. Like, the lineup did not carry over the 6th inning against Florida? It did not carry out over that momentum.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you come out, you'd score. Like, if you'd asked me yesterday what the over-under was that I would kind of set for the run scored by Tennessee, I'd have been like 10.5, 11. You kind of thought you'd get back to the double digits and really just kind of beat this team down. Like, that was the hope. You know, I remember saying that yesterday, that I hope that Tennessee makes a statement, that Tennessee comes out focused to show, like, hey, now's a stretch run. Hey, last week happened because you weren't focused. Let's be ready to go now. Didn't really feel that way when you come out and you get the start, you know, that Phillips gave you, where he walks a couple guys, hits a guy, and next thing you know, you're down 2-0 and chasing from the get-go.
Right.
You didn't have that performance that I hoped for. But it was another one where you had some late game heroics. You scored 4 runs in the 7th to give you the lead. You were able to close the door in the 8th and the 9th with shutdown innings and a save. Survive in advance, kind of the name of the game in these midweek games. Tennessee survived in advance and avoided a disaster, because it would have been pretty embarrassing to get ranked number one then lose to a very awful Queens team. Or a very bad Queens team. Maybe awful is a little extreme, but they seem pretty bad.
I do love seeing Combs come in there with he's got those, the, you know, the inked up arms. He's just like, he just feels like he brings fire. We needed it. All of a sudden I looked, I was like, I was kind of like you, John, even in the 9th, I'm kind of half paying attention, you know, looking at my phone, other stuff. And all of a sudden I'm like, geez, the bases are loaded. And Kirby punches a guy out, so that helps. But then, you know, I think Tony had seen enough.
Yeah, and Combs came in and struck out 2 guys on 10 pitches. You know, came in and he had his good stuff. So, like, that, when you win, you come in and say, okay, nice. Combs was in another pressure situation. That's stuff you can build on. That's evidence that maybe, you know, you could rely on him and have confidence in him in big moments in the postseason. So, like, when you win, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, good for Dreiling. It had been a while since he had a huge clutch hit. Not that he'd been necessarily struggling or choking in the clutch, but it was nice for – you know, they called him Mr. Clutch to come in and hit his 3-run bomb after they had walked to get to him. Like, that was cool to see. It was cool to see Combs come in and strike out 2 guys with the bases loaded in a high-pressure situation. When you win and you have that hindsight, you can look and say, hey, this is good. These are tests. These are another close win. You're able to work out of a jam. I will say the big 0-for-5 from Burke kind of continues a troubling trend there a little bit. I know he hit the bomb in the 7th inning against Florida, but I didn't think he had, like, a great Florida series either. Like, once that hit streak kind of got snapped, I feel like he's been regressing to the mean a little bit.
2-for-12 from that top 3 yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
So, really, I mean, if I'm Christian Moore, I'm like, whoa, hold on. I went 2-for-3, buddy. Like, let's just say the 2-and-3 hitter went 0-for-9.
Sure,
let's do that. Like, hey, because my 2-for-12, I'm doing a lot of heavy lifting there with my 2-for-3. How about we say Burke and Amick struggled because Christian Moore was still awesome. He was 2 for 3 with 2 walks. Like, he was on base 80% of the time. So, like, I don't think it's fair to lump him in there. I know that that's how you just describe lineups, you know, the 1 through 3, the 6 through 9. I understand what you're doing there, Sam, but I just want to give a shout-out to Simo in case he's listening.
I didn't send that, too, in terms of, like, leaving guys on base.
Yeah. He's stocked up Bob's fridge with Coke products. The least you could do is point out that he got on base 4 times yesterday.
I was kind of excited last night. Every time there's a game, I'm like, what am I going to pick up tomorrow? But didn't happen.
So, yeah, Burke and Amick struggled. I thought Tears was good. I thought Dreiling was good. So, like, maybe you take that trade off because those guys haven't necessarily been on fire themselves, especially Tears, I feel like, has been struggling a little bit. It's nice to see him start hitting again. And then, of course, we talked about the Dreiling home run. That was his only hit, but it was a big one, of course. Bargo getting some run at catcher. That was a little surprising.
Yeah, especially I think just for the situation. I don't think him playing catcher is really surprising, but definitely.
Yeah, I guess late in game.
Late in the game with
bases
loaded pretty much. Yeah, it was. I guess it shows how much, you know, Vitello trusts him, though, behind the dish, though, too.
Sam, what's your take on – so, because I see Antigua came in, looks like to play defense at the end. I mean, is this a situation where he, you know, he started the season hurt, Curley came out hot and just hasn't relinquished the job?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I think it's just kind of – you know, yeah, he got behind the eight ball with that injury at the start of the year and hasn't really found a slot kind of back into that lineup. You know, I think kind of the only spot that would that's open for him right now would be that DH spot, and he's just not as talented of a hitter as other guys that you kind of have there, I think. So it does kind of seem like you're waiting for next year to throw him at shortstop. I do think Dean Curley probably transitions to third, or Antigua maybe plays like second or something like that. But I think Antigua's probably his best fit as a shortstop because he's – yeah, he's a hell of a glove, but I don't think there's exactly like a huge spot for him to slot into the lineup right now.
Jace, do you have any thoughts on the baseball game? Top of the morning to you, by the way. Do you sing in the
top
car?
Top of the morning. It depends. I sing on the way from here, but to here it depends. I'll either go from either like a podcast or music. It depends really, top of the mood. But on the game last night, I thought it was. I don't really know how much, like, to think of how much they take the midweek game serious. Like, going off of the Lipscomb game last week, you would think that they would have more motivation to go into a midweek game. But, I mean, but then you go and look at in a weekend series and they come out and they hang, like, 16 runs on Florida or just take care of business against a much better team. But then it just seems like that they're just sleepwalking their way through these midweek games.
The good news is there's only one more.
Exactly.
The good news is there's only one more. You survived. You didn't tank anything. You didn't lose.
An ugly win is better than a pretty loss. There's always that.
There is always that. And you are right about that, Jace. And now you just get to focus on Vanderbilt. And hopefully let's extend that win streak to 10. It'd be really nice to go to Nashville and come back with a sweep.
So back to your singing. So you sing when you leave? So maybe that sounds like I've escaped. I've been sprung.
It's not
like
that.
A celebration.
It's just, it's around 10 o'clock in the morning on your way to get brunch or anything like that. It's just good, positive vibe, late morning.
There you go. Yeah.
Who are you singing?
It depends. It'll be like Morgan Wallen, Riley Green, or I could even go to like older like 2010s, 2000s music. It could be like anything old. Like that.
That hurt. I listen to the oldies, you know, that.
I'm only 20. That's my childhood.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand how math works. I understand how the time is linear. I understand all that, Jace. You'll have to rub it in. That's my childhood. I get it. I understand. Sam's talking about singing the damn Go-Go's or whoever the hell it was, the B-52s or dropping a bomb on me. Something from the 60s and 70s. Like, Sam is the same age as you, but he makes me feel not that old because he listens to old stuff, like those throwbacks, the 2010s. Oh, God. I can only imagine how that makes you feel, Bob.
Oh, I just don't listen. Act like it didn't happen.
I got no other baseball thoughts. We'll do a Vandy preview in the coming days. We'll be locked in on that series. That's a big one, of course. That's what's going to tell the tale of the week. And if you hold on to that number one ranking, and you know, you look at the baseball RPI, Vandy still going to carry some weight there, especially on a road win. Like, I do think Tennessee obviously needs to perform well at Vandy for multiple reasons, but I do think they need to add a couple more road wins just to that resume. It does seem a little light there, but Vandy's a top 25 team. I think they're number 22 right now in RPI, one spot ahead of Florida, so it'd be a similar type of series there. Two out of three is a win. I'd love a sweep.
On that note, last night as I was flipping around on the TV, so Vandy and Louisville was on for their midweek game. I don't know. It was on like ESPN2. They had Carl Ravitch calling that game.
Really?
Which I'm like, I don't get it.
I guess Carl's on salary. It's like, hey, you're not busy. Go do it.
It's just weird.
It must have been one of those like remote calls, I guess.
Oh, good point. Might have been a Remy deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People were upset. They do those sometimes. People were upset at Tennessee's remote call. They were talking about how the play-by-play guy for us just thought every ball was a home run.
He was very excited.
He was excited.
You know, a little Chip Carey going in for the old Braves announcer who just would call every fly ball a home run. It used to drive me crazy.
I did notice that last night. Like, there, I'd be kind of like looking down, and he'd be like, oh, and a deep drive. And
he got all of that one. And like, get to the warning track.
Wouldn't even get to the warning track sometimes. Would be like, dang, man, like, you get me excited for no reason.
I guess if you're not there, it's tough. But, like, maybe you just have to know, make a mental note, like, hey, I need to be a little bit more reserved on my home run calls.
Yeah. He did go crazy, at least, for the Dylan Dreiling call.
Oh, my
so
God.
So he was consistent.
You can't pitch to Dylan.
To Dalton Connect. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
You called him Dalton, I think.
Oh,
did
no.
He really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. The poor guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, Jace, you have experience with some of that, right? Or no?
Yeah, I've done broadcasting. Like, so I got a...
But like on like yeah. the on ESPN Plus, right?
Yeah, like I've done like baseball broadcasting for ESPN Plus.
What did you do for them there?
So it's just like you make notes prior to being on air, then you just...
Now, were you on air or were you just... Oh, really?
Yeah,
so
yeah, like
what game did you do?
So I've done like different games like for MTSU, but it's been like they've done like Lipscomb and Austin Peay and different like series games. Like
okay, so then you're there doing that?
Yeah.
I imagine those you were live at the actual venue though.
Yeah, you're actually there in the box.
Okay. All right. And you're a sophomore?
I'm gonna be a junior.
Gonna be a junior?
Yeah.
Seems kind of wild that they would just throw you in the booth there to do play-by-play. Like, I don't mean any disrespect by that. If it comes across that way, it's just
different sports. They pay different people to do it, but then like some other sports that are like baseball, like non-revenue or like soccer, then they just have like students come and do it because that's like
for hours.
Well, it's not like for hours because they don't pay you to do it, but it's like at MTSU because they have a big push for journalism and stuff like that. So they just
I guess I meant by hours, just like things you needed to graduate in class hours, technically and stuff like
it's
that.
More,
but just basically
it's more
resume
so
stuff.
It's more so an experience thing than an hours thing.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm over baseball talk, Sam. You can send us a break now.
I think we're good.
The Morning Show here on Fan Run Radio, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. You've heard me talk about White Claw for a long time, years now. I don't need to give you a live read. I just need you to picture a nice, hot summer day. You at the pool, cracking open a light, refreshing White Claw Hard Seltzer. The beer will make you feel bad. The liquor will put you down. You want something a little smoother that won't bloat you and make you feel bad. How about a Black Cherry White Claw Hard Seltzer?
As soon as you said picture yourself drinking a White Claw, Amy Winehouse said, in my head, I paint a picture. It was just perfect timing right there.
Call that art, baby.
Mm-hmm.
We call that art. Don't take for granted, Sam, what you have here with White Claw Hard Seltzer in the summer. Back in my day, when I was your age, I had to either drink just liquor or those big nasty, tall, sugary straw burritos.
God, I used to like those.
I liked them too.
Too much sugar, though.
Too much sugar when you're at the pool, like drinking a big tall boy. By the time you get to your second or third one, your teeth start feeling like they're going to fall out of your head.
Yeah.
But I couldn't drink beer, so like it was either that or just drink a lot of whiskey or Southern Comfort and make all my friends hate me. Like that's typically how it went. I don't think my friends hated me. I think I just ended up falling asleep out in the water, derailing your entire day. So don't take for granted having these beautiful seltzers as an option. I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have that. Did you see what happened? I think my favorite thing last night in sports was the lead-in to the Dodgers-Marlins game as MLB Network's kicking it over. And the announcer, as he's sending it, is talking about how Yamamoto's getting ready to take on the hapless Marlins. He's like, I'm going to call it right now. I'm putting the Marlins on no-hitter alert. And then, you know, it sends it to the game, and literally 20 seconds later, the first pitch, Jazz Chisholm hits a home run. just opening pitch. Just hits a home run after the guy put him on no-hitter alert. It was one of the all-time funniest moments. Basically painted it like, hey, this guy's about to dominate this Marlins team. This Marlins team sucks. This guy's so good. They're not even going to get a hit. Opening home run. Now, you know, that was one of only two runs they scored. They did lose 8-2.
I was going to say, how many hits did they have in the game after that?
They had actually more hits than the Dodgers.
Okay.
Strangely enough, the Dodgers scored 8 runs on only 5 hits. Whereas the Marlins scored 2 runs on 6 hits. But that first pitch was a home run.
First inning grand slam for Max Muncy. Nice.
And that's tough to come back from.
Yeah, that's very Marlins.
I found that to be pretty funny, though.
I did, too.
Also in media, we had a conclusion, or at least another chapter, an update to the Greg Doyle-Caitlin Clark story, as Greg Doyle has been suspended and will not cover Caitlin Clark games in person.
Yeah, it just kind of came out yesterday. It sounds like he's already been he's about a week into the suspension. And I think it was appropriate. You know, we've talked about him. We're not necessarily – I once was a fan, but I've kind of lost the interest in the guy. But he's, you know, he's won some awards and stuff. It's probably wasn't a fireable offense, but they needed to do something. And I think this was appropriate. Take him away from the team, being there in person for a season at least.
Yeah, that one makes sense to me, but I will say it feels a little weird to give him a 2-game suspension, or 2-week suspension, I should say, sorry. Like, that seems a little bit like overkill.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think what he did to Caitlin Clark was actually, like, deviant. Like, I thought it was weird. I understand if it made her feel uncomfortable. I understand if the WNBA and the Fever, like, hey, we don't want that type of coverage. That's, you know, unacceptable. Like, we don't want him at the games. I'd understand, like, hey, if the star was like, we're not going to send him to the games. But, like, to me, the suspension felt a little bit like overkill. And I say that as someone who has hated Greg Doyle for a while.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it was overdone. Like you said, I didn't take it. It was cringy for sure, but it was him. I've seen all sorts of comments. I think it was him just fawning over her as a player, not anything beyond that, I don't think. But it doesn't matter. And they did something. 2 weeks? Yeah. I mean, the fact that they kept it quiet was interesting. It really stuck out like a sore thumb because he usually covers the Pacers and they're right in the middle of a big series and there's no bylines from him right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The timing it makes it pretty hard to hide in terms of his punishment just because, yeah, like you said, the Pacers are in a big round two series and, of course, had a big, you know, playoff series win last week. And,
yeah,
you know, he hasn't been covering the team.
Yeah, I think it makes me wonder if, you know, maybe then some questions started getting brought up. Maybe they were trying to keep it, you know, swept under the rug entirely, because it is odd they didn't mention it till he's about halfway through the suspension.
Probably didn't mention it until somebody asked.
Exactly.
I'd say somebody realized, hey, this guy hasn't been riding. And do we think paid or unpaid suspension?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'd say that's a toss-up, really.
As an exec, do you really differentiate? Do you take the pay away when you're trying to drive a point, or is the suspension embarrassing enough where you feel like, hey, this is enough public shaming? You know, like the fact you got suspended covers our tail, lets us know, like, hey, we don't accept this, lets you know that. The public, if they find out You know, we could say, hey, we suspended him. Do you make a differentiation between paid and unpaid?
I don't, particularly for 2 weeks. I mean,
right.
If it had been longer term and it was some sort of scorched earth, like, you know, you're taking the summer off, period. You know, you're not covering the fever at all. You're not covering anything, and we're not paying you. Then that'd be pretty draconian. But I think for a 2 week suspension, I'd be surprised if they just didn't keep him paid.
How many suspensions did you hand out in your day?
Suspensions?
Yeah, was that something frequently that happened?
No, not really. It was because if it came to talent relations, that wouldn't be on my watch, and we didn't really have much of that happened. Just because of the kind of content we did, it wasn't, you know,
a live ongoing thing typically.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. But there's countless times where I've had to, you know, tell people, you know, you need to go home for a day or two, and you know, and those, because it's not even worth the paperwork to try to do unpaid and everything. It's just like, just go home and clear your head, and when you come back, you know, this cannot happen again, ever.
Was it Snoop Dogg you had to tell that?
No, it was never anybody like that. It was never a celebrity. That would, like I said, that would be that'd be handled by I might have some input on it, but it'd be handled by someone else.
Gotcha. I didn't know if Tony Siragusa was wild and uneasy to work with. Bob's like, Tony, just go home 2 weeks.
Now
think about what you've done.
We were pretty deferential to talent. They'd really have to do some bad stuff, and nobody really ever did. You know what's interesting though? Did you ever watch the show on Food Network, Chopped?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I love Chopped.
Yeah. So
I love reality TV, but the cooking stuff doesn't do anything for me. I think it's just because I can't cook. But no, I never watched it. Obviously, I'm familiar with the show.
And now I forget the host's name, which just shows my age. But he was a regular and a good guy. But he during productions, you know, it's just interesting all the demands that you get from talent at some point. And he always had to have a place where he could take a nap in between shows, no matter what time of day it was. It was like, and we had to create a lounge for him.
Nice.
Wasn't a dressing.
Ted Allen.
Ted Allen. It was Ted. Yeah. So it was. It wasn't a dressing room. It was like probably about the size of this studio, you know, sofa and, you know, dim lights. And
it feels kind of perfect for a nap station. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, if we keep Cowherd on through the summer, there might be some times I come in here, you know, get that little heat, that little sauna feel to it, and just take me a little nap.
A little nap pod.
Get me a little a cot in here. Or the couch out there. I mean, I could just take a nap on the couch. I applaud Ted Allen for saying, hey, I like to nap. I got to be at my best. How long in between shows would there be, though?
It wouldn't be that long. Maybe it would be probably less than an hour, but it could be 45, 50 minutes. So if you really are focused in and said, I'm going to go lay my head down for half hour.
Now, would someone go and, like, wake him up? Or if he's asleep, yeah. You're just like, hey, you know, let him
no.
finish.
No, he'd have
How long do those take?
Those shows?
Yeah. Like
a whole episode. It's an hour. You shoot it without commercial breaks, so it's about 40, 42 minutes. It's usually, they shoot them as live as much as they can. It's probably about an hour to shoot, even though it's only about 40 minutes of content. I mean, they do have to stop sometimes because of the food prep work that's going on around it. You got to let some of that happen. So sometimes maybe as much as an hour and a half, but... Yeah.
Now, is that a show that you are recording multiple ones in a day?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, usually...
I thought the cooking one would be tough just to... Because, I mean, on those shows, the judges eat it, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're
so...
You're on, like, your fifth episode now. Yeah, man, I'm just full.
This food sucks now. I don't want any more of it. So, like, stop.
To be clear, it would be two shows a day. Sometimes, if you're really ambitious, three. That'd be a long day. It'd be a really long day. Because really the lead up time, there's a lot of prep work that goes on show day before the shooting begins. So if you're doing your job right and you get a lot of stuff done in the first couple hours leading up to shooting show one that day, then you can kind of keep it on track with the downtime in between and not make it too long.
Now, Chop's not the type of format where the winner keeps coming back and you have to, like, beat him, or is it?
No.
Okay. Cause, like, Jeopardy, like, they film a lot of episodes in one day too, right?
Oh yeah.
But, like, does the returning champion just have to sit there for hours answering questions? Like, does he have to defend, like, five times in one day?
Yeah.
That seems kind of crazy. Imagine that if you're on a nice run, though. You're on a heater, you're just in the zone, you make $100,000 in a day just from trivia. That'd be kind of cool. Because I never think of it as a, you know, multiple episodes in one day when you're actually watching it. It does a good job of making you think, man, this guy's showing up just the next day, ready to go.
Remember Aaron Rodgers, when there was chatter he might take over Jeopardy? That was the only way it was going to work, was he could do it in the off season and shoot just mass-produced shows. So,
hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with some headlines you missed from yesterday. It's called About Last Night. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.